Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, be with us as we seek your will and gain an understanding of God's knowledge and wisdom, and we give you thanks for all the things in life that you give us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the people of our community, and today we thank you so very much for Pastor Lloyd Tremaine. He is with the Church of the Nazarene in Paradise, and what a lot is going on in our community. We are going to talk about that for a little bit. And Pastor Lloyd, would you just say hello to the audience?
Hello, audience.
Oh, that's great.
I'm glad to be with you today, John. Thank you for inviting me to be a part of Christ Today.
And what a joy it is to see you here at the studio and to have all the things that you have been involved with being talked about. So much going on in our community.
Absolutely.
What is going on? We've had some things going on, as a lot of tragedies, a lot of difficulties, and we want to care and show compassion to people who are hurting.
Absolutely. There's a lot of things that are taking place from Chico to Oroville, all the way up to Paradise and beyond up into Magalia. There are different caring core people that are just a core of people who are caring. They're just stepping up to bat and helping people as they begin to emerge from where they've been for over a month.
Wow.
People have been in difficult situations, and they've carried the stripes of their difficult stories with them into those places that they've gone. They've been in temporary housing. They still are in temporary homes. They're in temporary places. Some of them are still at the fairgrounds, and some of them are at many different locations around, maybe at a friend's house or a family's house, or maybe they've got an apartment or a hotel room somewhere. If they have good insurance, then they might have something like that. But every situation is unique and different, and every single person involved in this process is absolutely learning new things that they had never known before, and they're having to process things on a completely new level than they've ever thought or processed things before. Yes, some of their background comes into play, but also the people who are stepping up and helping. That core of individuals who are just loving on people, helping people, stepping up and volunteering their time. There are people who are being paid, of course, to do their job to help out in a disaster area. But there's a lot of people who are just pouring hours and hours and hours, days and weeks into resourcing and helping and supplying and purposing and repurposing things to help people to be able to find normality, possibly, or to be able to find a new norm where they're getting ready to start a new part of their life. Some people are staying in the community and some are moving. But right now, we have, leading into Paradise, we have three locations that are currently up and working. One on Pence Road, because that was the first road that they began to allow people to come up onto the ridge after the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have another one that is on Clark Road, which is at the First Baptist Church. And we also have another one, which is on Skyway. And they're there for people to be able to sit and relax, reflect, be resourced, be able to get some water, go to the bathroom, which they probably weren't able to do. When they went up onto the ridge the first time, they would look around and there was nowhere to go to the bathroom.
True.
And here they are. They're just working, and they're out there at their property looking at what's going on. And they've been sitting in line sometimes for hours.
To get into Paradise.
Just to be able to get into Paradise, they were. They're not now. Yeah. But there's still construction on the roads. So a lot of time is being spent in transportation, going back and forth up into Paradise for people. And they just need a place to stop. Maybe a caring core of people who will actually talk to them and listen to their story and encourage them and bless them. There's counselors. There's chaplains. We have people who are just volunteering to step up and be a part of helping people where they're at, handing them some necessary items.
Mm-hmm.
So at the Nazarene Church on Skyway, as people are coming up the hill, the very first light you come to at Neal Road, that church is one of our locations. That happens to be where I'm the pastor, but it's available for anybody to stop. If they need a cup of coffee, if they need some chili or something to eat, if they need a restroom, if they need a warm place to sit because they've been out working in the middle of their house, cleaning and trying to find little things that they lost in the fire. They might just be cold and need a warm place to sit and relax.
Yes.
and be refreshed for a while. So a part of the core of that is we have a lot of friends from around the county, a lot of people from our churches, the Orrville Nazarene Church, which was such a huge location for a lot of people to go to when they were exiting the fire in Orrville. Also, the East Avenue Nazarene Church had a lot of people go through there, and people were parked there. You know, they were being resourced there. They even had medical people on site there. And it's one of the things we're looking at, the potential of doing something like that here as well, until Feather River or until other medical places can be reopened again. I heard today there's supposed to be the ribbon cutting.
I didn't
for
know.
The Feather River Clinic down on Skyway, right across from where our church is located. And so it would be a great thing for people that need to have medical care to be able to step in and find resources again, starting on the ridge. We do have electric. We have potable non-potable water. Mm-hmm. So everything in Paradise and is needing to be boiled if you're going to be using that water for anything special. But I think above and beyond all of the little technical things and parts about coming back onto the properties, looking at where we are, is remembering where we've come from and what we've gone through. The emotional, spiritual, psychological, there are so many things that are going on in our minds and our hearts. Where do we go now? What we've been through. You know, and maybe you want a chance to be able to just stop and talk to somebody
yes.
in any of those resource centers, either on Pence Road or on Clark Road or on Skyway. If you want to stop and talk to somebody, they have those things available there for you, because it's an important part of processing what you're going through, and maybe even what you're going to be going through, and helping you to be able to just have a listening ear, somebody that cares for you.
Yeah.
That's why I call them a caring core, because they're actually there to care for who you are and what you're going through, what you've experienced.
That's one of the wonderful things about people who have the Christian faith, is because we have learned that one of the basics is love our neighbor. Love
Absolutely.
God, of course, but love our neighbor. And we have different ways to show it. And this is what many Christians are doing. It's wonderful.
All around the area, from the places where they've been resourcing them all the way to the places where now we're helping them to repopulate and getting people back into where they were, there's going to be a whole other set of things that'll be happening next. It's not just about all of a sudden now we're repopulating, we're back in there, now we're going to take back over, we've got our city.
Yes.
There's a whole lot of foundational things that need to take place. From clearing the land, once that's all been signed away to the people who will be clearing it for you, to all of the insurance and the things you're going to have to deal with over the long haul. And then there's the rebuilding process, because if you think about all of the different people who are contractors, they're going to be overwhelmed with jobs coming up for those people that want to rebuild. And it's going to take quite a bit of time. And so we need to be the kind of people that are going to resource, care, love, support, and help those who are in that process so that when they come through and there's a new paradise that's coming up out of this ground, we're going to be able to see that God is actively involved in making that happen well.
Yeah.
And would it be okay if I share with you a scripture that God's given
of
me for
course.
Quite a while? For some reason, God talks to me. Maybe it's because I'm listening. But he always talks to me. And in the last 3 or 4 months, I've had this scripture reference being pressed into me. It seems like everywhere I turned around, I was hearing it. I was thinking about it. God was bringing it to my mind many, many times, often a day. And I call this my raw awe because it's very raw. I didn't know what he was talking about. I didn't know why he was telling me to look at this. I've been taking people through an Isaiah study, and in the middle of this Isaiah study, after 3 years, we've only got through chapter 27, so we're very in-depth in this, but God is giving me this other scripture from Isaiah that is outside where we're studying, and it's been very strong in the impressions that I'm getting from that, and so I read this scripture, And I read this scripture over and over again, not knowing what it meant and why God was trying to tell it to me and trying to impress it on my heart.
Yeah.
Until the fire. There's a phrase that I use all the time. It's dot, 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 but God.
Right, right.
Well, this was one of those dot, 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 but God. He knew exactly what I needed, when and where. He knew what was going to be going on. I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And he impressed this scripture in my heart. And so I thought, you know what? I'd better just ask God for him to show me what's true and what's right and what's best. Well, after the fire, I was situated in a place where I was sitting down and I remembered the scripture that he gave me.
Which is?
It's Isaiah 61, 1 through 6.
Okay.
And many people know it. Many people have heard it. Many people understand it. But I have to tell you, God was giving this to me for a few months before the fire.
Yeah.
I'm going to read it for you here and maybe throw in a little bit of some of the words and things involved in how I see this.
Yeah.
But I want you to realize he's been speaking to me about this. He's been preparing me. He's put me in places where I could be a chaplain. I could be a pastor and all over. But let me read this scripture for you. Again, this is Isaiah 61, 1 through 6. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. The oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. I'm going to stop there for just a second, because these words have significant meaning to what just happened in the fire.
Yeah.
The people there before the fire, he's saying to proclaim good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom for the captives, release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I tell you what, all these things, they're so pertinent to what God can do in the middle of disaster. He can take a disaster and turn it around for good, even though people are devastated. They're full of despair. They're mourning. They're hurting. They're living in ashes. All of these different parts, and if you break this down and look at it, you can see how each one of these lines are intended to be for somebody who's coming to care for, to help, to build up, to restore in amazing ways what is happening to the community of people. I love that. And many people have quoted that scripture just about the beauty instead of ashes. They'll pull that phrase out, but don't miss the entirety of this scripture. Because he also says oil of joy instead of mourning.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you what, we're mourning.
Yes, yes, we are.
That's not an M-O-R-N.
Oh, no.
Not that kind of mourning. This is a mourning. We've lost everything. I lost my house. I lost two cars. I lost my mom's house and everything that she had. We have lost so much, so many on the ridge. It's not a person or a couple or a few. It is over 14,000 homes that are gone.
Yeah.
What do you do with that? What do you do with that? And then he says, give the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. I love this next part, because those of you who live near and around Northern California, where we are, whether you're in Chico, you're in Paradise, you know that almost everywhere there are oaks.
Yeah.
There are oak trees everywhere. And if you're driving up towards Paradise, you're going up the ridge, up Skyway, or whichever way you're going, you're going to see oaks on both sides of the roads until you start getting higher and higher in elevation. Mm-hmm. Then the oaks begin to taper off and pines begin to pop in and fill in and populate the area. I thought this was interesting because I look at all the trees around that have burned and have come down.
Mm-hmm.
And it says in transition here in the next verse that God wants there to be oaks of righteousness. Listen to what he says. They will be called, these people will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Wow. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. That's pretty powerful.
Yes.
I think God wants to rebuild this place through people that are righteous.
Right.
I think that he wants to restore this place through people that want to make a positive difference in there through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Rebuilding ancient ruins. You know, when I looked at the town before and I prayed over the town a lot, those people who knew me, I drove around and prayed over that town for years and years and years. And I saw a lot of ruins before the fire. Dilapidated, broken down, beat up, falling apart, cars, houses, land, unkept stuff all over. It was just a devastated area in many ways. I didn't really think about that before. For some of these people, if they had insurance, they might get back something way better than what they had that was sitting there.
That's true.
Some of them might be celebrating today because they might get some money to be able to build something new.
Some, yeah.
And they will rebuild the ancient ruins, restore the places long devastated, renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations.
Yes.
I think God has something that he wants to do. And yes. I think he was giving me this scripture because he wants to point out the fact that he is going to do it through us.
Right.
Then that next scripture is kind of blows me away, and I'm not sure why it was a part of this, but it says, strangers will shepherd your flocks.
Oh.
Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. You will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. That's pretty incredible. And as I read that and as I studied that, it didn't make sense to me until after the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now that I've come around on the other side of the fire, I'm realizing God was speaking in some powerful ways to get me ready for this raw awe that was going to be impacting all of us.
Yes.
And understanding that the awe is not just about the situation around us. He wants us to have awe in who he is and what he is doing, who God is, what he is wanting to do. He's wanting us to recognize in awe who he is right now in our lives, so that we can begin to proceed with his purposes and step up into his best for where we're going in life. I just am amazed at how God speaks to us. And I hope you've had many opportunities to be able to hear his voice yourself and respond to it on a regular basis, because it's one of those raw awe moments for me every time he talks to me. And I love it.
And I think the important part here is to realize that God is the director, not me, not us, not the person. No, we yield to his will and do it.
Absolutely. And we are, when we actually do that, we begin to participate in God's purposes. We begin to learn and to grow into what he really has, what is best. If we don't, we miss out on a whole lot because we're focused on ourselves and not on him. And we only have so much we can think or do. We're so limited in who we are.
Right.
But God is unlimited in what he is and what he can do. So why do we ever just trust in ourselves?
That's one of the mysteries. Because we do. We, in general, we look at what we want and what we are doing, and we put ourselves first instead of God. Oh, that's so Well, it's dangerous.
It's dangerous to live that way. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah.
So I can hardly wait to see what God is going to do next.
Right.
That's one of my phrases. I got to use it all the time. I can hardly wait to see what God is going to do next because I trust him with everything. Yeah. I'm not hoping that he'll do something good.
Oh, no.
I'm trusting him with everything. So now when I listen to his voice, I'm saying, God, I know you know what's best. Mm-hmm. And I know you know how to put those things together. So, God, I want to join you in what you're doing. So I can hardly wait to see what you're going to do next. What's going to happen now? Think about this for just a second. What's going to happen now? Because it's almost Christmas.
Yes.
We just went through Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
After a devastating disaster. And all these people that have, and I like to say this, survived, because there's at least 89 people that we know have not survived.
Uh-huh.
And we're beginning to memorialize and beginning to celebrate their lives, and there are crosses being put up on Skyway with their names on them. There's people that are talking. Eclampus Vitus is a group that is putting up a wall, and they're using bricks from all the homes of people that lost their homes. If they want to give or donate bricks, they're going to put together some kind of a memorial wall. And I imagine our town is also going to be doing something specific to remember the lives that were lost in this fire, because 89 lives is pretty tragic.
Oh, and the losses is everywhere.
Absolutely horrible to know that those people lost their lives in that fire.
Yeah.
And we can't really imagine who they, we know who they were, but we can't imagine what they went through.
That's true.
You know, our prayers are with the families.
Mm-hmm.
Our prayers are with those
friends
and people around them that knew that they lost their lives in that fire, and the hurt that is caused in their own lives because they've lost someone in that fire. There's a lot to this that's pretty dynamic. And we're over a month away from when this event happened, but we've walked through Thanksgiving.
Yes.
I wonder sometimes, and I know that a part of what I was doing and part of the Emergency Operations Center, we had some great guys who were working on putting together dinners and putting together community events for people around that time frame to be able to help bring some strength or some hope into the middle of these devastating situations. Mm-hmm. But just providing a meal isn't going very far. Our thankful hearts, even in the middle of our loss, are something that can be treasured if we really find it in God, not in ourselves. If we don't find our treasure in our homes, if we don't find our treasure in our cars, and we find our treasure where God put it in the first place for us to be able to take a hold of and enjoy forever, now as well as eternity, then we will have a different view of what hope and thanksgiving really is. So what happens now that we look to Christmas? What is Christmas going to be like for all these people that have lost their homes? Some of them will receive gifts from friends or family.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them might be able to, some of them might go to a restaurant for Christmas Day in Chico or Oroville or wherever they're relocated to.
Yeah.
Someone might sit and watch a football game at a bar. Or somebody might go somewhere and choose to just hang out in a place that's completely away from where they used to be. I don't know how everybody will do their Christmases, but it's so vital for me to maybe share with you today the importance of keeping Christ in Christmas. No matter what you've been through,
that's
no matter
right.
what you've gone through or experienced, if you keep Christ in your Christmas,
yes.
and not just look at the gifts, not just look at the things, not just look at a nice dinner table,
mm-hmm.
But look to the resource and the source of all of life. Because when Jesus came, he came to bring resources to us that we could never provide for ourselves. None of us is capable of providing a way to get to heaven. Jesus came and provided the only way to get to heaven.
Yeah.
He became an incredible gift that first Christmas when he entered this world. And he brought the gift of salvation. He brought the gift of teaching and training and leading us and encouraging us. He brought all kinds of gifts to the table. He even gave us his Holy Spirit as a gift to live in us and to bless us and to help us with life, to give us wisdom, to comfort us who are mourning. He gave us his Holy Spirit to be with us. It's incredible the kinds of things God did for us by sending his son Jesus that we celebrate at Christmas. And I hope that today you will be considering who you will love and encourage and be the hands and feet of Jesus in your world today. If you don't do that, then we're kind of missing out on some of the blessings that God wants to pour into our lives.
Yes, that's right.
And I can hardly wait to hear the stories of what God does through you because you decide that you are going to be the hands and feet of Jesus on Christmas 2018 to some people who are lost and broken and hurting in despair, who have gone through all kinds of difficulties because they've lost things in this fire. I hope that you will be the hands and feet of Jesus to those people. Find them.
I love to see what the churches are doing, what the Christian people all around, people following the example of Jesus Christ, and you do so much. I am just so, it's a joy to see what the churches are doing. I know there's going to be one of the events is going to be at the Pleasant Valley Baptist Church in Chico, and that's for campfire victims. That's on Saturday, December 22nd, from 4 to 6, but you need to call them. The Paradise Alliance Church, CMA, you know it as, Christian Missionary Alliance, they are going to have a celebration also, and they're asking for anyone who wants to come to have a free ticket. Oh, yes. It's just wonderful. You know a little bit about that too, don't you?
Yes, at the CMA Church in Paradise on Christmas Eve, we're going to be having a program that is going to be including all of the pastors, and it's called I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Oh.
And it's a community-wide Christmas Eve service, and we already have one of the times, the 2 o'clock time is already sold out, so we still have a few tickets left for the 4 o'clock time. And most of the tickets, which we just opened up a third service, is at noon. So if you would like to go for free tickets, you can go to https://goo.lgl/nhd43d. Now, that's probably going to be hard for most of you to write down that quick. So if you want to, if you have a phone and you want to text Paradise, just the word Paradise, to the number 5636, you can choose on that to be able to go to one of those shows and get a free, it's not a show, excuse me, one of those services. It's a community-wide Christmas Eve service. And it's probably going to be sold out, so make sure and get your tickets quickly. Mm-hmm. The roads will all be open for access to the church. A free dinner will be provided for people who will be coming in there. There will be some other surprises and some other great things that will be there for people that are able to come and be there. So I would encourage you to get a ticket. Like I said, they're free. You just need to have a ticket for the time frame you want to come to be able to be a part of that wonderful Christmas Eve service. That's the first big service, anything that's being offered on the Ridge. And it's a very powerful thing to realize that it's the church, all of the church on the Ridge, stepping up and standing together to say, we want to celebrate who God is, even in this community where there's a huge, devastating disaster that took place. God is still God, and he is still in charge, and he still loves us, and he has more for us. And the church is wanting to give and to help and to support the people who are there. So I hope you'll have an opportunity to come up to Paradise on New Year's, Christmas Eve, and be able to be a part of that special event, because it'll be very meaningful.
It's one of those amazing things I have found and experienced is when we have something that's quite difficult to go through, God is there.
Yes,
God
is
meeting us. And
Amen.
And we get to see what God does. And and that's the thing about being in need and being in trouble. When we call upon God and rely on him, he answers us.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's faithful.
He's, yeah.
And he loves us.
Oh, yes.
I'm so glad he loves us because we don't deserve it, but he does. He loves us. And he's given himself for us in every way. I'm so thankful for his great love.
Yes. Yes. And this is an example of how we learn love, too. And certainly we have love in our life, but not like God's love. Oh, boy.
Once we begin to share that love, though, like he told us to, when we love our enemies as well as our neighbors, just like we love ourselves, then he has some new kinds of love that he wants to pour in and bless us with and help us with. When we begin to walk in that, we begin to recognize that kind of love that he's wanting us to have and give. It's because he loved us first, and he's teaching us and showing us how to really love. Think of heaven. We're going to be in heaven someday, and he's going to want us to be those same kind of loving people there, huh?
Yeah. It's exciting. I mean, it's exciting to be here on earth, too, but to think about heaven where we have eternity to get to know God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit, wow!
It's amazing. I have a great story, too, about coming out of the fire. My mom was one of those ones who lived by herself. She's 94 years old. She lived by herself, and she always gets up at 4 a.m., but before that, I mean, she's opening the gym at 4 a.m. She's got to be there first. Anyway, she gets to the gym early and does her workout. Well, this particular morning, November 8th, 2018, she went and worked out, and then when she got done working out, she went home, and she started having her devotions, and she made some breakfast, and she sat down, and she felt like she needed to go somewhere, but her neighbor knocked on the door. And said, look over there, June. Looks like there's a fire in the distance. They both looked over at the horizon and said, yeah, that looks like a big fire. Yeah, you're right. They both went back in their apartments and went back to what they were doing before. My mom felt like she needed to go. She felt like she needed to go to Safeway. Strange of all things. Why in the world go to Safeway? But she needed to go. She needed to get out. She hadn't heard that from anybody, but she felt God was telling her to go to Safeway. So she went, she put on her coat, grabbed her purse, went and got in her car, and she has one of those doors that goes up, it's an electronic door for her garage, and she got in her car and backed out, and the garage got almost all the way down, and all of a sudden the power went out.
Oh.
It was amazing because the door wouldn't go down any further because the power went out. If she would have waited 30 seconds more, she might not have gotten out of the out of the house, garage. And so she got out, and she drove over to Safeway, not far away from where she lived, and she pulled into the parking lot and backed in and stopped there, and she got out of her car, and she was like thinking, now what do I do? Am I supposed to talk to someone, Lord? What are you wanting me to do here? Because there's not anybody around. Well, we knew the manager of Safeway. The manager came out and said, what are you doing here? She goes, I'm waiting. She thought maybe she was talking about someone from the family was going to come and pick her up because she knew the fire was coming and she was locking up the store. So she went back in and continued her work, and she came out a little later and she goes, how come you're still here, June? She said, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do, how I'm going to get out. And so all of a sudden she comes out the final time after locking up. She didn't need to lock up, by the way. Safeway's gone. But anyway, she did. She did all of her protocol, and she said, June, you got to come with me. So she loaded her in her car, and she took her down to Chico in her car through all the stopped traffic. But when she was leaving, she turned around and looked back over her shoulder, and she saw that the back of Safeway was on fire.
Oh.
Where they had just left. The smoke was coming up over right toward them, and they had just got out in time. And as they drove down, fortunately, because my two boys had worked there at the store, she knew one of their numbers, and so she got a hold of him through Facebook, and he's up in Idaho. Yeah. She got a hold of him and said, hey, I have your grandma with me. And he said, well, why do you have my grandma with you? Because there's a fire here, and I was helping her to evacuate. Since I live in Chico, I wanted to make sure and get her to a safe place, and so she came with me, and I'm taking her down there, so she's going to be safe.
Yeah.
So sure enough, they got down to the bottom of the hill and my other son from Idaho called one of my sons who was in the middle of the fire evacuation in the middle of paradise and couldn't get out.
Couldn't get out.
And told him, hey, you need to get grandma. This is where she's at. And so eventually they were able to get her from that house down there and then connect up and get us back around. And it was an incredible thing that God had prompted her to leave.
Yeah.
Because she didn't have any warnings. There wasn't anything else going on other than her neighbor just said, wow, look, there's some smoke over there. And as she was praying, she just felt like the Lord was saying, you need to go. Yeah. You need to go. And so she did. And fortunately, she answered the call that God was placing on her, followed through, and God protected her and got her out safe. Now, I'm going to fast forward to just a couple of days ago. She and I, it was last Saturday, so it was a week ago from when you're hearing this right now. This last Saturday, I was driving her up to Paradise to see her house, which was destroyed. And we wanted to see what it looked like. And so as we're driving down the road, we looked over where Safeway was, and guess what we saw? A blue car sitting out in front of a burnt down Safeway and all the stores around it. Her car was still sitting there. So I turned into the driveway and I drove all the way down toward her car and stopped and got out. And I'm like going, I can't believe this. Right. This is incredible. Are you serious? Her car's still sitting here. There's beams that burnt that fell down and broke right next to her car. Oh. There's big metal posts that came down and just missed her car. All of that sitting right there. And she went, she opened up the door with her key. She got in, she turned it on. Vroom, it started right up.
Oh.
And I'm like shocked. I'm like going, I can't believe this. And I walked around, I was using my phone and I was videotaping this and went around the back. And the only thing that had happened is the lights on the back had melted.
Wow.
And the back bumper had melted.
But
other than that, the car was completely intact. There was even stuff in the trunk. We opened the trunk with a key.
Yes.
And we looked in the trunk and there was stuff there.
Wow.
That hadn't burned or anything in the fire. Now, my mom isn't the best, I'll be honest, isn't the best driver. Isn't the best parker. And it's probably a good thing because that day she missed the curb by about 7 feet.
Oh, no.
And because she missed the curb by 7 feet, the beams fell away from where her car would have been. The big metal thing came down that would have crushed the back part of her car and just missed it by about a foot and a half. So if she would have actually backed all the way into there, she would have lost her car in the fire too.
Wow.
But God saved her car and protected it. And she got out of my car and ran over. She was like, she was going, whoa, my car, my car, my car. Because there were no other cars around.
No, that is.
And other people have taken pictures of Safeway and there's her car sitting right in front. Yeah. Just a testimony to God's protection and blessing.
That's right.
For her, it was like having Christmas. It was on November November 14th or something, but it was like having, December 14th. It was like having Christmas because there was her car, and it hadn't been ruined. It hadn't been completely destroyed, and it was just a reminder that God was watching over her.
Right, and that's what God does it to our amazement. Mm-hmm. We witness God's hand moving, and we say, wow.
Absolutely. It's incredible what God does and how he protects us. It's incredible how he walks with us and gives us scriptures and leads us and teaches us and helps us. That's just a part of my journey. And that's a part of why I say this is raw awe. What I'm going through is just raw. Absolutely. But you know what? The awe is because I am recognizing and seeing God, who he is and how he is at work. I'm watching him work around me. He's answering prayers. He's moving in people's lives. I led a guy to Christ. Mm-hmm. I was able to lead him to Christ because he was caught up in the middle of what was going on around him, and he didn't know the Lord.
Yeah.
He does now, and he's now walking with God. I was in the middle of a situation the other day when I had an opportunity to share the testimony about what happened to this young man, and the people who were there with me were just absolutely caught up, and they said, I wonder what God's going to do next. And I said, wow, that sounds familiar, because I always say that. I wonder what God's going to, I can hardly wait is how I say it.
Yeah.
I can hardly wait to see what God is going to do next, because he's answering our prayers, he's working around us, and he has our best in mind for us.
Yes. And you saw that too, and another young man saw that. That's a wonderful part.
Absolutely.
Talking to God and hearing God speak to us, that's always something that I think about, because we not only speak, but listen.
Mm-hmm.
We speak to God, hear his voice, and there's different ways that we can hear his voice.
He speaks very clearly. When he wants to get through to us and we're willing to listen, he will speak very clearly to us. We do have to be quiet. I've said this before in this show. Sometimes we have to shut up.
Yeah.
And listen. Absolutely be willing to be still and know that he is God. Not have to be in the middle of a rush of listing things to pray for. It's not, you know, he's not Santa Claus waiting, you know, to give you a list of things on your on your list.
Right, right.
He is wanting us to connect with him where we're listening. We're ready for him. We're prepared to do what he asks us to do, and he's going to bless us when we're faithfully walking his way.
Yeah, that's relationship.
It's all relationship with him. That's why it's all about Christ today. Because it's not just Christ yesterday. He is active in our life today.
Yes.
And he never leaves us alone. Mm. And the other day I saw someone in the store, somebody who had been through the fire. And they said that someone kept asking them, what can we do for you? How can we help you?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, maybe just be patient with me, because I'm not ready yet to re-engage with life the way that I had it before.
Yeah.
I'm not quite ready. We just need you to maybe help us to try and live as normal of a life as we can, but just be patient with us. If we find that it's just too much, be patient with us. Keep trying. Don't stop loving on us. Don't forget us. You might want to send us a card or give us a special date or something like that. You know, maybe go out to coffee so we can share our thoughts. But just know that we appreciate your caring for us. And know that this is just valuable time that we need to be able to reprocess things. And maybe just give us a heartfelt hug. You don't have to look for gifts. Just give us care. Give us love. Give us support. Give us your friendship. Because that's what's most important.
Yeah.
And be patient with us. I love that statement. Be patient with us. A lot of times we're looking for our way, doing our thing. And some people, when they call and they say, what can we do for the church? Or what can we do for you, Pastor? I'll say, go and find someone to be Jesus' hands and feet to.
Yes.
It's not about me. It's about who God is and what he's doing and what he wants to do.
Yes.
And so I'm always encouraging people, go be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to make a difference for him, go do what he said. Be his hands and feet.
Yeah.
Love people like he loved people.
Oh, how wonderful it is for you to say that. And I think of that very same thing. As you said, be patient with the people who are going, who have gone through a difficulty of some sort or another. That's just essential.
Absolutely.
And yes, it's right here, right in front of us in the community, and we see it with the people who have gone through the fire. But we need that as we go through life, just to have somebody who listens, for one thing, and somebody who cares. And also, when we speak about it, we order our thoughts, and that's good too.
Very true. We need to order our thoughts. And if we're not taking time to be with God, our thoughts are not going to be in order.
Oh, yeah.
That's a part of it, is letting him help to order our thoughts and our days. I know a lot of times I've just gone out on my own thinking I've got a busy schedule, I've got a lot of things to do and accomplish, I've got a lot of places to go and people to see, and then I stop and when I spend my time with the Lord, he says,
"Yes,
I've got more for you than you even know.
Yes,
are you ready to go my way? Are you ready to listen to my voice? I'm ready to share with you so you can see that I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He's still with us." And that's a part of his pressing in sometimes, is recognizing that he's caring for us that much, that deeply, that he's willing to engage us personally. Right.
And I think what you said, God is not just someone we speak to and say, I want this, this is what I need. No, we conform to God's understanding and God's will, and we say, yes, Lord.
Isn't that what Mary did?
Yes.
That's exactly what Mary did, Jesus' mother. That when God sent the angel Gabriel to talk to her, she said, let it be to me as you have said.
Yeah.
She was willing to say, yes, Lord. And that's why she was able to be blessed, not willing, but able to be blessed because she actually submitted herself to God's will, and God was able to do amazing things through her. What a glorious testimony to recognize this birthday of Christ.
Yes.
And Mary, how she was willing to do what we're just talking about right now today.
Uh-huh.
And God blessed her for her faithfulness to that.
Remembering Christ in life every day. Mm-hmm. And how do we do that? By remembering God and remembering our neighbors. Love our God, love our neighbor, huh? Mm-hmm.
That's so important. Absolutely. I have a lot of connections and places that I've gone to. And maybe some of you know about this. If you're having struggles with knowing where you're needing to go for different resources, go to buttecountyrecovers.org and open that up and find it out. There's different places you can go to find resources and help. And you've probably heard some of those things, but maybe you haven't gotten up and gone and done that. Mm-hmm. I encourage you to do that because as displaced people, we don't have our restaurants to go to. We don't have our grocery stores anymore that are normal. We're missing our normal things of life. We don't have the places that we went for church. We don't have the places we went to get our gas. We don't have a lot of those places.
Yes.
Because we're completely displaced. But we have a new norm.
Would you tell me that again? What was place, website?
It is at Butte. That's just Butte, countyrecovers.org. So just type in on your computer, www.buttecountyrecovers.org. And it'll show you different things you'll need to be able to get updated information. There's also a phone number you can call, which this is going to sound strange, but try it. Mm-hmm. The number is 211. Call 211.
Yeah.
It's like a 411 of information, but it's for us.
Yeah.
It's for people who have gone through this disaster and are needing to have directions that are current, up-to-date, numbers, phone numbers, activity places, things that are going on. If you want to know some of those things, that's a number that you can call and be able to get more information about current activities and things going on. That's more for the short term, because that information changes on a fairly regular basis.
Yeah.
But if you haven't had a chance to talk to FEMA, I would encourage you to get down there and talk to them at the Sears, as well as other resources that are down there for you. There's chaplains that are available all over to talk to and to process some of what you're going through. Very important. We're all dealing with this in many different ways because we've seen the actual images, and some of them are grossly shocking.
Yeah.
We've seen the apocalyptic views. I mean, it wasn't on TV. It wasn't a movie. No. We saw it firsthand. We watched the flames coming up off the trees and off the ground and coming toward us and surrounding us. We saw people that were going through those situations, and it was incredible to realize that God protected us in the middle of that. But we have been through it.
Leaving town, we saw many people saw the cars that were by the side of the road burned, mm-hmm. and some people even had the heat reaching right into their cars.
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, when we were leaving town, we couldn't get out.
You yourself?
Yes, I didn't. Yes. I didn't have a way to get out. My son came to pick me up, and we were going to try and evacuate, but he didn't have very much gas in his car.
Oh.
And so we started by driving. He let me drive, and I drove to a first gas station, and it said, "We're empty. We've already sold out." And there are lines of people. We lived in Magalia, and people were trying to get out Upper Magalia going towards Butte Meadows.
Uh-huh.
But it was backed up. It was just stopped traffic all the way through to the fire. And so I drove around and got around to another gas station. Again, we're having to sit in traffic to do this. This is taking a long time. We got around to another gas station. They said, "Sorry, we're sold out. We don't have any more gas."
Oh, boy.
I got around to the third gas station. I'm going uphill as I'm doing this, going through traffic and trying to get there. The third one said, "We just lost power."
Oh.
"So we can't pump any gas."
Yeah.
I got up to the last place in Magalia, and at that place, they were already putting the chains around the door and saying, "Nope, no power. Can't sell you gas today. Sorry." And so we didn't have any way to get gas. And so we ended up working our way back down to a defensible space and sat in our car there and watched the fire in front of us, going across Old Magalia. We could listen to, we did listen to, tanks exploding, and the reverberating from the explosions was
like
incredible.
Propane tanks. Yeah.
All different kinds of tanks. Tires. You know, tires on cars.
Yes.
Probably exploding. Maybe gas tanks from cars. Other things. Uh-huh. There's a lot of different explosive devices. There was even cans that could explode. Different kinds. Smaller propane tanks. But you could hear them going off constantly. They were just going off all over. We could hear them reverberating through the canyon on one side of us and come and clear up where we were in Magalia. We were just amazed and shocked as we watched the fire being blown across in front of us. And I positioned my car looking towards old Magalia, because we were in Magalia. And as we're watching the fire and the smoke and the ash billowing up, it was being blown across. The wind was so huge. It was absolutely blowing very, very fast through the area. And it was actually creating a firestorm all the way across real quick. They said that it averaged about 3 miles an hour was how fast it was burning through things.
Yeah, that's
and
fast.
The heat was so high that it was melting lots of, you know, everything, cars, all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And all the stuff in the homes came down very fast. And so as we're sitting in this defensible space, there's about 40 other cars sitting up there with us. We're watching and listening to this. We're trying to figure out how we can get out, but some of them didn't have gas, just like we didn't have gas. And we just had barely enough to be able to go a short distance, but we didn't think we could get out. We knew we couldn't go out all the way around to Butte Meadows because it was too far. And so we stayed in our car. We just tried to make ourselves comfortable. We had my son and I, three dogs and a cat, all inside the car. And so we didn't have a lot of stuff. We only had the clothes on our back, basically, and a briefcase and stuff that I had with me. Other than that, we didn't get anything out. And we sat watching this, and the sun starts to go down. And it's starting to get cool. So we're thinking, well, we're going to have to stay, in this car tonight. Yes. And hopefully the fire won't jump over and get too close to us. But about that time is about 5:30 at night now. And this has been going on since 7-something in the morning. And the fires are still going. The smoke is still rolling. It's covering the area. And all of a sudden, four vans pull up. And they were from law enforcement vans.
Oh.
And they were wanting to take us out of the area. And so one of the law enforcement men came over to us and said, you guys need to get out. We're needing to evacuate you. And so you need to get in one of these vans. And I said, where are you guys going to take us? Well, we don't know.
Oh, boy.
And I said, you want to take us and you don't know where you're going to take us? Yeah. Oh, we're not going to go with you.
Yeah.
And as I talked to another individual who was with the fire department, he said, you know what? I can take you down. I'll lead you down and maybe get two or three other cars that want to try and follow me down the hill. And again, I have not seen the devastation in Paradise yet.
Mm.
I'd only heard stories about houses building.
Yeah, at that time.
About all those things. And we had seen the smoke. We had heard the explosions all day long. And it's now evening, and the sun has now set. And he said, I will lead you out. And I'm thinking, okay, I can follow a fireman. He probably knows the best way to go.
Yeah, that's
and true. He was talking about going down Skyway. And I thought, okay, well, I'll follow him. Well, when we got down to the turnoff where Skyway and Pence divide right there, there were big trucks across the road, so we couldn't go down Skyway, and we had to turn and go down Pence. It was literally the scene of a war. It looked so terrible. The flames were still burning up. All the things were gone. There were still poles that were laying down on the ground now. I saw one pole that was actually hanging from the wires.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about 4 feet off the ground. It had burned. And I realized, wow, this is not good. This is really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea, because the next set of things that I got to see were all the homes, the gym, all of the mobile home parks completely gone, everything gone, everything I knew and everything I saw going down Pence was just not there. Mm. And the things that were on fire, it was incredible the loss that we were seeing. My son leaned over and goes, "Dad, my door's really hot."
Yeah.
I said, "Yeah, I'm not stopping though." And we followed him out. There was like three other cars with us, and we followed him out. Fortunately, it was all downhill for our gas situation.
Yes.
It was all downhill. And by the time we got just out of the town and down to the first turnoff, Durham-Pence Road, he goes, "Your best bet is to head towards Oroville. Don't go towards Chico." Yeah. He said, "You guys go towards Oroville." And we headed towards Oroville. And, of course, when you're going towards Oroville, and they had all the roads shut down, so we were the only cars on the road, by the way.
Yes.
We got to the first exit, and that first exit has a Chevron. That's usually the most expensive gas station around. However, they had lowered their prices.
Oh.
And we were able to get gas and be able to continue on and get down safely to Sacramento.
You made it.
It was quite an ordeal. And so I'm absolutely thankful that God brought us out.
Yes.
And I can literally hardly wait to see what God is going to do next.
Oh, what a wonderful example. Speaking of things that have happened, and we know that we must be prepared for everything, including
absolutely.
Our life after this one. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We just have another minute left or less. Would you care to just give thanks, a prayer just
absolutely.
For us? Thank you, Pastor Lord.
God, I thank you that as we enter this Christmas season, it's just a season that we celebrate, but we're celebrating the fact that you, Jesus, were born for us. We're celebrating the fact that your Father was willing to give you up for us. Mm-hmm. We thank you that you went through all you went through for us, mm-hmm. for our salvation, and the opportunity to be able to step into heaven and live with you forever. Lord, as we think about all the things that have happened around us lately with this fire here in Paradise, we also realize that you have not left us alone, that you are here to renew and to restore and to bless and to encourage. And so, Lord, today we want to take a hold of the hem of your garment and be healed where we need to be healed. We want to be able to stand with you. Maybe it's going to be at a Christmas Eve service where we'll celebrate together the fact that we are still alive and we're standing up strong. Maybe we need to celebrate the fact that you are the one that holds us up so we can be strong. We bless you and thank you and want you to know, God, how much we love you. Thank you for blessing this Christmas season that we celebrate you and for allowing our hearts to be focused on you, the Lord of our lives. Blessed be your name, O Lord our God. How we love you. Thank you again for loving us like you do. In Jesus' name.
And amen. Thank you. Best of luck. Tremaine, we very much enjoyed
this. Give me passion that pours out to every nation.